So good. Such a gift to be with you. The offering is going to come around right now. If you have your Bibles, I want to invite you to turn to the book of Mark in chapter 5, and we're going to jump right in there. Now, if you remember, the disciples had just faced into this storm where the waves were crashing over the boat. There was this overwhelming sense of their imminent demise, and Jesus calmed the storm. And so the boat continues and arrives at this place called the region of the Gerasenes, which is an area called the Decapolis, a section of 10 cities influenced by the Greek. And says this, starting in 5, verse 1. They went across the lake to the region of the Gerasenes. When Jesus got out of the boat, a man with an impure spirit came from the tombs to meet him. This man lived in the tombs, and no one could bind him anymore, not even with a chain. For he'd often been chained hand and foot, but he tore the chains apart and broke the irons on his feet. No one was strong enough to subdue him. Night and day among the tombs and in the hills, he would cry out and cut himself with stones. When he saw Jesus from a distance, he ran and fell on his knees in front of him. He shouted at the top of his voice, "What do you want with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? In God's name, don't torture me." For Jesus had said to him, "Come out of this man, you impure spirit." And Jesus asked him, "What is your name?" "My name is Legion," he replied, "for we are many." And he begged Jesus again and again not to send them out of the area. A large herd of pigs was feeding on the nearby hillside, and the demons begged Jesus, "Send us among the pigs, allow us to go into them." He gave them permission, and the impure spirits came out and went into the pigs. The herd, about 2,000 in number, rushed down the steep bank into the lake and were drowned. Those tending the pigs ran off, reported this in the town and the countryside, and the people went out to see what had happened. When they came to Jesus, they saw the man who had been possessed by the legion of demons sitting there, dressed and in his right mind. And they were afraid. Those who had seen it told the people what had happened to the demon-possessed man and told about the pigs as well. And then the people began to plead with Jesus to leave their region. As Jesus was getting into the boat, the man who had been demon-possessed begged to go with him. Jesus did not let him, but said, "Go home to your own people and tell them how much the Lord has done for you and how he has had mercy on you." And so the man went away and began to tell in the Decapolis how much Jesus had done for him, and all the people were amazed. And so, Father, we pause right now in this moment, and we bring everything that we're thinking before you, everything that we're feeling. And so for some of us, that may be doubt. For some of us, it may be fear. For some of us, it may be some other thought or emotion. And just like this man did, we come before you on our knees and we ask that you would show us the way, show us your truth. And in Jesus' name, by his authority, we speak to the enemy right now. We just command you to silence. You may not influence. You may not deceive. And if that's your heart, if that's your heart's desire, I just invite you to say, "I agree," or "Amen." Just something simple like that. I was sitting with my wife the other day, and she was saying, "So what are you preaching on this week?" I said, "I'm preaching on the guy that's demonized that Jesus sends all the demons out into the pigs and they run into the Sea of Galilee. And she goes, oh, a light one. What we're going to do today, church, is we're going to break this into about 5 different segments, and we're just going to move through this. We're going to see what God has to say. We're going to embrace the reality that we are not only physical beings, but we are spiritual beings. This is a key concept that Mark is communicating again and again and again. And we, those of us who have chosen Jesus, and if you're here and you haven't chosen Jesus yet, or you're here just because you're curious, today might be the day that you feel that invitation. And it's an important one, because when we stand with Jesus, there is nothing to fear. And that's a good place to be. And so these disciples are in the boat, and they go across the lake to the region of the Gerasenes. And so this lake, this sea of Galilee, it's approximately 53 kilometers all the way. Just the circumference of it is about 53 kilometers. And from top to bottom, do we have that image up there, the map of it? Yeah, there you go. Top to bottom, you're looking at about 21 kilometers. And right across it, you're looking at about 13 kilometers. Now, the region of the Gerasenes that we're talking about here is down on the lower portion of the lake, somewhere in and around this area. We don't know exactly where, but it's somewhere right along the bottom. And it's most likely that Jesus was coming from Capernaum. So whether that was his original destination or whether he got blown off course in the storm that they just faced, they end up in this area. And Jesus gets out of this boat, and this man with an impure spirit comes from the tombs to meet him. This guy had been stuck there. In a sense, he had been isolated, bound in chains, tied up. But somehow, whatever was going on in the spiritual world, he was empowered with the strength that he could break these chains. Nobody's strong enough to subdue him. Night and day, among the tombs, in the hills, he would cry out, and he would take stones, and he would gouge himself. He would cut himself. Now, you'll hear in this text the word possession used, and the scholars are understanding that it's not necessarily a possession that we're dealing with. It's more of a demonization. And what that means is in the spiritual world, where there are these evil forces at work, there are spirits that can afflict you, they can demonize you. And that can be an external thing where they're hammering you from the outside. It can be an internal thing where, let's say you choose something that's wrong, that's evil, that's outside of God's will, and you open yourself to it. Say it's pornography. Say it's continued ongoing gossip at somebody's cost. You're giving access in the spirit realm. And so this man is demonized, and not just in an insignificant or a small way, but in a significant way. Physical chains could not hold him, but spiritual chains did hold him. In fact, they held him so securely, and the affliction was so strong that he wanted to kill himself. He continually tortured and hurt and was stuck. There's a reality, church, here that it's easier for us to say there's something symbolic in this than there is when it's real. And now, I grew up in a number of different churches, and I believe I must have heard messages taught on this that I applied in a right way, a degree of metaphor to this. But I remember the first time I came face to face with somebody who was demonized. And it was after a time at church, there was a prayer team that had been praying and working with someone. If you aren't familiar with the way that we do things, we have a ministry team that meets at the front afterwards. And for anybody who's wrestling with somebody, for anybody who wants some support, for anybody who wants freedom, we invite you to come forward and receive that prayer. Well, our prayer team had been praying with this person and praying, and all of a sudden, something was beyond where they had comfort, and so they sent somebody to grab me. And as I came over, I recognized the prayer team. I recognized the person that they were praying for, and I thought, oh, they just need a little bit of moral support, a little bit of pastoral presence, a little bit of pastoral care. And I walk in, and we start praying, and all of a sudden, something shifted, something was different in this person's demeanor. Their face looked different, their voice looked different, their eyes looked different. This person that I knew, who I knew Jesus, when I prayed, told me I didn't have authority. I won't give you any of the other additional details because I don't believe they're significant or relevant. But in that moment, I came face to face with the reality of the spiritual battle that's happening around us. And I went, okay, hang on. I actually know that in Jesus I do have authority. So I pressed back in and I prayed. And then I went home that day and I went, I actually don't know what's going on here. Because I'd never seen that before. I'd never experienced that before. I've prayed for a lot of people. That doesn't happen very often. See, it's important that we don't just discredit or brush this off, but we acknowledge that there is a reality to the spiritual battle, to what is going on around us. Verse 6. This man sees Jesus from a distance. Right? He sees Jesus and he runs and he falls on his knees in front of him. And there's a bunch of dialogue that we don't know with absolute clarity what happens. We get just a brief summary of what's happening in between Jesus and this man. Now here's what I want to suggest to you. Possession, the word possession implies absolute control. And the enemy doesn't have and cannot have absolute control of us. God doesn't allow that. One of the ways that God loves us so deeply is he gives us the ability to choose him or to not choose him. To choose his way, which is absolute love, absolute truth, or to choose the way of the world, which isn't love, which distorts truth. To choose his way, which combines the beauty and the richness of the unseen spiritual world with the truth that is found within the material world and combines them. And the reason I'm saying this is if the demons had actually fully possessed him, this man would not have run towards Jesus. He would have gone completely the other way. Now, this is important for us. In front, you'll see a chain. There's a lot of links on that chain. And if you've ever carried chain before, it can be fairly heavy. Now, this length of chain, you can actually carry it. It's carryable. Once I helped install a dock, and the size of the chain that you had to put on that dock the weight of that was back-breaking. But for any of us here, I mean, the reality is we've all either had chain on us or around us, or we are with chain on us or around us. It's how big is it? How thick is it? What is it? So I want you to take a moment right now, and I want you to ask God to reveal what the chain is that you're carrying, what the chain is that's around you, what the chain is that's near you. And so, Father, again, we open ourselves to you, Lord. We ask that you would speak. We ask that you would reveal. We ask that you would show. What is the chain? What is the chain? What is the binding? And so this man, whether it's the spirits who are encouraging and driving him, or whether it's all of a sudden this man who has this awareness that there is something unique about this guy, there is something that has freedom all over it, goes towards Jesus. And what he does is this: he falls before him. And he moves immediately into a place of submission. And see, Philippians 2 talks about there being this truth and reality that every knee will bow, that every tongue will confess that Jesus is Lord. In a sense, sometimes the chains that we choose, the chains that we wear, keep us standing, keep us from moving into that place of submission. And so Jesus says this: come out of this man, you impure spirit. Now, in this day, in Jesus' day, casting spirits out was not a new thing. Each culture, to a certain extent, had this embracing or releasing or rejecting of spirits. But what's unique is the strength and the power and the authority that Jesus carries as he commands. And what does the man who's afflicted by these impure spirits say? What do you want with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? In God's name, don't torture me. There's this deep fear because of the submission necessary, because they know, they see in the spiritual realm who Jesus is. And one of the ways that the enemy works, and we know that according to 2 Corinthians, we have to understand the strategies of the enemies. One of the ways that the enemy works is to cloud our minds as far as this spiritual world. So what the enemy wants you to think right now is this is just ridiculous. This is a folk tale with a metaphor and a great principle, but don't believe the hype. And what Jesus is saying to us is, believe it, but don't fear it. See, when I first came face to face with that encounter, that next level encounter. When I first saw eyes change and a voice change, there's part of me that was afraid. There was part of me that was fascinated. There was part of me that all of a sudden went in a direction that I believe was not exactly where God wanted me to go. See, just like Peter said at the beginning, is fish are made to swim, birds are made to fly, people are made to worship. See, our response is to, rather than get fixated, rather than get fascinated, rather than make it all-consuming, our role in all of this is to come before the living and the true God and to worship Him. Our role is to come under the authority of Jesus and to take up the mantle of Jesus and to command these spirits out and away of people. But our job is to worship, because when we worship, we take all of the fuel of the enemy's fire away. See, Jesus asks the man, "What is your name?" And the man with the spirit replies, "Legion. My name is Legion." Now, legion is a military term that the Romans would have had thousands of men that fell within that. Right at that time, in that era, it would have been 3,000 men made up a legion. There were so many spirits that were attached to this man. And remember, our job is not to get fixated on the spirits. Our job is not to get fixated on the enemy's work. Our job is to have our eyes set on Jesus. Charles Craft, who was a missionary, I believe, to somewhere in South America, went through all of his seminary training, did his undergraduate, did his graduate, and possibly some doctoral work. Landed on the field and landed in the midst of this tribe and this culture that was so deeply enmeshed in spiritism, and so many people were afflicted by spirits. All the training that he did and had was almost for naught. Because they weren't equipped, they didn't understand how to press through, how to press in behind the spirits to get to what was going on in these peoples. And he came and he brought his teaching back. He's written a number of books. We'll hear a few of them today. One of the stories that he shared in his lectures is that evil spirits, impure spirits, are like rats. Anybody have familiarity with rats? Anybody? A few of us? What do rats like to eat? Garbage. Man, rats love garbage. I had this rat trap outside my garage, and for years, I think, there was nothing in it. All of a sudden, I was outside my garage about a month ago, and there were just flies everywhere. I looked around, what are all these flies doing? And all of a sudden, I realized it was concentrated right over where the trap was. And now, What started to happen around the garage recently is there's a little bit more garbage and cat food and that kind of stuff that's left out. So obviously the rat was attracted, but I got him. Now, Charles Craft says this, your choices, your decisions, your sin, whatever it may be, is like garbage in your spiritual house. So let's say you have some kind of an addiction and you keep going back to that addiction. Let's say you have some kind of a habit that is detrimental to your well-being and those who are around you. And you know that God's got something better for you, but you keep going back to it. You keep going after it, but you just can't seem to stop. Every time you're going after it, it's like you're bringing a pile of trash and you're dropping it somewhere in your house, your spiritual house. Right? And sometimes it seems like the garbage that's all dry, it's paper garbage, so you can take it and you can put it in a side room and it doesn't smell that bad. Sometimes it's the kind of garbage that you put in that should have gone in the compost, but somebody didn't put it in the compost, and so you pull the trash out, and what happens to the bottom of the bag? A little leaking, dripping. And what Charles Craft is saying is what you need to do is you need to get rid of the garbage, because when the garbage is gone, there's nothing there for the rats to go after. What he's saying is you need to stop doing the things that you're doing. What he says is that as soon as you've gotten rid of the garbage, which are attached to any number of things that happened to us when we were young, decisions that we used to make, that we still make, as soon as you get rid of that garbage, the rats have to go. The spirits go. And how you get rid of the garbage, honestly, church, is living in this place of intimacy with Jesus, of moving into this place of worship with Jesus, where you understand that He is the only one that will quench your longing. That what you're longing for, even though it may be good in a relationship with your spouse, God's the only one that can meet it and put you in the right space to be with your spouse. So how do you get rid of the garbage? With everything you are, you worship. How do you get rid of the garbage? It's, and I'm not sure whose idea this was, but it's like we've got this glass, and there's a few specks of dirt and junk in the bottom. And if we just leave the dirt and junk in the bottom, it'll still be there. But if we pour the water, and eventually the water will pour, it will flush it out. Worship is like that in our spirit. And as we worship and we worship and we worship, God flushes and He flushes and He flushes. Verse 11 says, "This large herd of pigs was feeding on the nearby hillside. The demons begged Jesus, 'Send us among the pigs, allow us to go into them.' And He gave them permission. The impure spirits came out. They go into the pigs. The herd, about 2,000 in number, rushed down the steep bank into the lake and were drowned." There are some parts of this that we will not understand completely, and we have to be okay with that. What we hear in these spirits is this desire, so this understanding, submission to the authority of Jesus. They know that they will not be permitted to stay in Jesus any longer. So the request is, well, send us into something else, because we don't want to go where you're going to send us. And so some would argue that, well, Jesus allowed them to go into pigs because all of the Jews thought pigs were this unclean, filthy animal. And so He allowed it to happen, and it did. And maybe that makes sense, maybe it doesn't. Regardless, Jesus sends these spirits into the pigs, and the spirits achieve their desire, which is destruction. Right? What's the purpose of the enemy? It's to steal, and it's to destroy, and it's to kill. What's God's purpose? What's the purpose of Jesus? To give you full and abundant life. Luke 11 says this when Jesus is helping us understand what's happening in the spiritual realm. He says this in 11:21, when a strong man fully armed guards his own house, his possessions are safe. But when somebody stronger attacks and overpowers him, he takes away the armor in which the man trusted and divides up the plunder. Then Jesus says this, whoever is not with me is against me, and whoever does not gather with me scatters. What Jesus is saying is that you've got to choose. And so here's your choice, okay? Your choice is this. The enemy is coming to destroy you. And he's going to make it look really, really good. He's going to make it sound really, really good. And your first taste, you ever open up a bag of Miss Vicky's salt and vinegar chips? Your first taste, oh mama. And what happens when you get the family pack bag and you sit down with the family pack bag? Anybody with me? We know. We get to the end of the family pack bag. That was not a good idea. Now, thank you that the Lord has redeemed Miss Vicky's chips. Moderation though, right? That's what the enemy does. He makes something look so good, and all of a sudden you lose control, and you've consumed the whole thing, and you're stuck. And Jesus is saying, I've got this abundant life for you. And it may look different. The world may be telling you that it's not good, but you got to trust me. Because when you trust me, I will fill you to overflowing. Luke 11, Jesus is explaining this to us. Whoever's with me, not with me, is against me. Whoever does not gather with me scatters. You've got to choose. It's one or the other. It's a choice. And so when an impure spirit comes out of a person, it goes through arid places seeking rest, does not find it. Then it says, I will return to the house I left. When it arrives, it finds the house swept clean, put in order. And it goes in and takes seven more spirits who are more evil than itself, and they take up residence. See, what Jesus is saying is that he's the stronger man. He's the stronger man that has authority over the offending spirits, over the offending ways. When you invite him in, you invite him to stay, not just for a moment, you invite him to stay, and it shifts, and it changes, and it alters your life. But you got to choose it. And it's got to be a choice that you make in every moment. Here's the thing that I realized. So in the time since all of a sudden my eyes opened to what was going on, I started to seek after, okay, God, what do you have for us? I went out to Ontario to a seminary there where there was a professor who was teaching on deliverance, teaching on spiritual warfare. Amazing class, amazing man of God. He did it one way. We came back here and realized that the Alliance was moving through a similar material with Dr. Rob Reamer. And so we went to a conference there and experienced and saw healing. And it was amazing. See, the spiritual world that we think doesn't exist, all of a sudden you enter into a worship with, there's maybe 300, 400 people, it's seated 400 people, and you go, okay, well, I wonder what this is going to be like. At the end of, near the end of the seminary, or the seminar, it's a weekend seminar, you go through all these preparatory things, and you go, okay, I wonder who, and when 80 to 90% of the people go forward for deliverance, you realize how real it is. But here's the thing. All of it was bathed in worship. All of it was this preparatory work for Jesus to move in, brush these little rats away. We're insignificant, really. They're insignificant. And make space for the Holy Spirit. See, when we choose Jesus, the Holy Spirit resides in us. But to make it so that the Holy Spirit has access to every single room in our house, every single closet in our house, every single floorboard that we've got stuff hidden under in our house. So we went to that experience and came back and started to run through and do it the same way that we saw it done there. And we had some measure of success where we were seeing some people freed, and then we had some that it wasn't freed. And I started to process with a mentor in the alliance connected to it and say, why isn't it working? And they suggested try this. And then I all of a sudden realized, oh, wait, you've got to really, really want to be free. See, when Jesus is saying, whoever's not with me is against me, whoever does not gather with me scatters, what he's saying is you've got to be all in. You've got to be committed. You've got to be willing to let the Miss Vickies go. And some of us don't want to let go of the Miss Vickies. See, we've got to choose it. We've got to want it. So church, what we're going to do right now is we're going to move into a time of prayer. And as we move into this prayer, we're just going to see what God has for us. We know that He wants us to move into a place of freedom. We know that He has fullness for us. We know that with Him, chains cannot bind us. So I'm going to invite our ministry team, if you can come forward, and for those serving communion, if you can make your way forward. We're just going to make some space in ministry time. I'm also going to ask, so Linda Goble is going to be shifting locations from us for a while. So do we know how long, Linda? No? Okay, it's going to be for a little a bit of a length of time. So, Linda, don't come right up right away. Just give us a little space for some ministry time. But if you know Linda, have any connection or relationship with Linda, I'm just going to ask you to make your way forward. And I'm going to ask Ron and Audrey if you can host that. And we're just going to bless Linda and pray for her as she goes. Okay? But just give us a little bit of time, Linda. And so, church, just invite you to bow your heads and pray with me. So, Lord, we've opened a conversation here. We've opened a step into freedom. And again, we pause before You, Lord, and we bring our doubts. We bring our desires. We bring anything and ask, Lord, if it's not of You, would You silence it? Would You remove it? And if that's your heart, just again invite you to say, I agree, or amen, however you want. Lord, we know that You are the author. You are the creator of life. That all things have come into existence because of You. And so we worship You, Lord. We know that Your way is the best way, Lord, but we confess that sometimes we choose our own way. So just ask for a clear sense of Your invitation out of our own way, out of the other way, and that clear call to you. So Jesus, when you looked at this man, you asked him, "What's your name?" The man replied, "Our name is Legion." And so church, as Jesus looks at you right now, he asks, "What's your name?" And I just want you to listen and hear what it is he calls you. So there's a truth and a reality that God is a good dad. He's a good father. He loves you so deeply, so profoundly. He loves you enough that he sent his son to come after you, to make a way for you to have access to him. And a loving dad looks at his son or his daughter and he says, "You are my child." He looks at his son or his daughter and says, "You are amazing. You are blessed. You are significant." And so if that's what you're hearing, that's a beautiful gift to you. If you're hearing anything other than that, what I want to encourage you with is that's not God. If you're hearing anything attached to decisions that you've made, wrong decisions, that's not God. And there's a way out. There's a way to freedom. And so, Lord, your word says that when we come to the place where we confess you as Lord with our mouth, and we believe that you, Jesus, are the Son of God who came to live, who died for our sins, and who rose again. When we believe that in our heart, we become your children, your adopted kids. Lord, I pray that if there are any here, and I want to speak to you, if you're here and you haven't said those words, or if you're here and you said those words a long time ago and you want to grab on to them again, I want to challenge you. I'm not going to ask you to stand. I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand. What I'm going to ask you to do is to come forward to one of our prayer teams. And so we've got communion on this side and prayer teams over here. Come forward so that we can pray with you. And so we're going to move into ministry time right now, church. And in that time, we would invite you to make your way forward to receive communion or to come over here to our prayer teams. If anything is striking you within this message, if anything's speaking to you, if there's pushback anywhere, we are committed to journeying with you. See, God's way, his message is one of hope. It's one of life. It's one of abundance. If there's something that you're carrying that's beyond what you feel like you can carry, that feels like a trap, there's hope and there's freedom and there's release. And so I'm just going to ask everybody to stand right now and I'm going to pray us out. Jesus, you call on us. You call on us to make a choice. You call us to make that choice not to belittle us or ridicule us. You call us to make a choice so that we can step into the freedom that we have as your children. And so, Lord, we say that we are with you. Lord, we say that we choose and we want to gather with you. And so we receive the hope that you have for us, Lord. We invite you to speak your truth and your hope and your guidance into us. We invite you to make us beacons of light. And so in Jesus' name, I bless us to go forward as light bearers, as those who know Jesus and who know the truth, as those who don't fear the enemy who seeks to destroy us, but as those who are fighting from a place of victory.